Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, December 8th, 2020, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, There is a Solution. We're on page 21 today, and we are going to continue parceling out paragraph number 2. And so let me tell you where that's at if you're just coming on. We are going to be reading lines 9 through 15 today, which, of course, it's 9 lines down from the top of paragraph 2. It's way over on the right. You can see the words he has. And then we're going to read through 7 lines, which will be through line 15. And that ends with incredibly dishonest and selfish. And hopefully you can find that's kind of tucked in the middle of this page here down there in that paragraph. That's what we're going to take apart today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Audrey M.P., the 12 Traditions, Joni C., and reading the text today and support is Jody E., Robin P., Shelley E., newcomer greeter, sponsor inviting getter is Barbara W. today, and giving us announcements here at the things that happen in the Vision for You is Leslie M. Thank you for your service. Absolutely. The share ID and numbers for the meetings that we have here for yesterday, that would be Monday, December 7th, 2020, 10 a.m., is 15934, 15,934. And then today, we had a meeting already on this particular paragraph. That would be Tuesday the 8th, the 7 a.m. meeting. That share ID number is 15942, 15,942. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Audrey M.P. to read the 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Team Tuesday. This is Audrey M.P. from Southern California. I'm a compulsive overeater and a gratefully recovered bulimic, and these are the 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable, too. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Audrey M.P. from California. I will now ask Joni C. from Minnesota to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Joni.
Good morning. This is Joni C. from small town Minnesota. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Melanie, we can't hear you. Thank you very much, Jody. Appreciate that. And I wanted to thank Joni C. from Minnesota for reading the 12 traditions. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderator is 1 year, and for reader is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And I'd always like to point out this is the star 1 key function only for the purposes of muting. If you are silencing your phone or muting your phone by your own phone cell, you'll probably find that you've been remuted by the operation here automatically, so you want to be sure and check that. Today we resume the study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, There is a Solution. We're on paragraph 2, which is going to be 9 lines down from the top of paragraph 2, and it begins with, he has a positive genius and then end 7 lines down from there at line 15 with, he is incredibly dishonest and selfish. And what I'd like to do is ask Jody E. to read those few lines this morning and pull out of it the directions for recovery as she has experienced, and then we'll open up the lines for additional comments on that. Good morning, Jody. Thank you.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. My name is Jody, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in California. He has a positive genius for getting tight at exactly the wrong moment, particularly when some important decision must be made or engagement kept. He is often perfectly sensible and well-balanced concerning everything except liquor. But in that respect, he is incredibly dishonest and selfish. So this I can relate to. I had a positive genius for eating compulsively, for binging, at exactly the wrong moment, particularly when some important decision must be made or engagement kept. And in fact, that would go on, and I could not make decisions in general. I found it very difficult to know what to do or how to live. And when I came to OA for the very first time, hearing those 12 steps, I knew that I had found what I needed. What I didn't know was, however, that I needed to be entirely abstinent. It took years for me to discover that because it was not something that was encouraged. So I had to find a group of people like this one that were recovered and that were abstaining entirely, because that is key to my ability to work the 12 steps, which will enable me to stay abstinent serenely and happily. I was not particularly sensible nor well balanced concerning everything except food. I was pretty unreasonable and insensible and not very well balanced in general. But I and despite that, and because of that, probably I was absolutely dishonest and selfish in all my affairs. And by abstaining entirely and by working the 12 steps, I have been able to grow in my ability to live on life's terms, to become much less selfish, and to become honest. And for that, I am so grateful, both to this meeting and to these 12 steps and to Overeaters Anonymous. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you very much, Jody E. Jody's from California. Thank you again. I'd like to open up the lines now for additional comments on that paragraph, or those 7 lines actually in the second paragraph. And we're starting with 9 lines down to paragraph, to line number 9. It starts with, he has a positive genius, and then ends on line 15, incredibly dishonest and selfish. Commenting on that little section right there to pull out the directions. So if you'd like to share, I'd like to get your first name and the first letter of your last name and perhaps your state. And although we do cherish and value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. We do have the blessing of having well over 250 people on this line each day. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, consider tomorrow being the first day back to be able to share at the 10 a.m. meetings. Okay, great. I'm ready to take some names on that paragraph. Well, it's actually a paragraph. It's 7 lines, isn't it?
Lauren H.
Lauren H.
Sabrina.
Hi, Sabrina.
Robin.
Sabrina H. Gotcha, Robin. Thank you. Okay, let's go with the 3 here because the time's a ticking. We want to save it for shares. Lauren H., from California, Sabrina H., maybe you'll tell us your state, and Robin P. from Mexico. Go ahead, Lauren, it's your 3 minutes now.
Hi, good morning, Lauren H. from Los Angeles, recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. Good morning, everybody. And thank you to everyone that does service. I really appreciate you listening every morning. What just yelled at me from this text is dishonest and selfish. Balanced, except for being, you know, dishonest and incredibly selfish. I was a compulsive overeater forever, since as soon as I could remember being young, but bulimia came to me when I was 17, and for 20 years, I never told an entire soul. It was a secret, a shameful, shameful secret that I would somehow, some way, figure out and get past. And even I went to therapy or was a therapist, and I didn't tell them. And that's why I was sad. That's why I was there. And I just couldn't find a way to really share that information with anyone until I was on my knees and found my way to OA because I wanted to die. Even though I had all the things that a person can have, I just couldn't live one more moment. And I heard people say, I'm a compulsive overeater, I'm a bulimic. And for the first time, after 20 years, saying those words was a powerful moment for me, that I could finally be honest and learn how to be honest in every aspect of my life. And now that I'm recovered by the grace of God, just for today, not cured, but in the promises and not fearful and not fighting, I practiced honesty every inch of my day. And it's the key. It's the key, I feel, for me. With my kids, you know, in my emails, you know, because I use that was a great tool for me. It protected me as a kid to, you know, so I wouldn't get hurt to telling little lies and pleasing people everywhere. And so now I know that is a quick slope right back into my disease if I'm people pleasing and telling little lies. And so I find myself every morning waking up, please help me be honest, willing, and open-minded, especially honest today. And so, yeah, just wanted to share that. Thanks for everyone for being here, and have a wonderful morning. I pass.
Thank you, Lauren H. from California. Sabrina H., you're up for 3 minutes. Star one, please.
Good morning. I'm Sabrina H. From California, compulsive overeater. Really happy to be here. Thank you, everybody, for your service and the reading. You know, for me, I think what it says about being, you know, in the respect of liquor being incredibly dishonest and selfish. I think for me, that is all areas of my life, not just with food. And when I came into Overeaters Anonymous 6 years ago or 6+ years ago, I was then a total liar. I could not even distinguish for myself what was real and what wasn't in my life because I just lied all the time. And things got better and I lied a lot less in Overeaters Anonymous. And very recently, after thinking that I was abstinent for 6 years, discovered that I was not really entirely abstinent. And along with that, now having 20-something days of being entirely abstinent, that I can see the tremendous, you know, dishonesty that, like, I was less dishonest, but that doesn't make me not dishonest, you know? It was better, but it wasn't being honest. And so a little dishonesty is still dishonesty, and a little selfishness is still selfish. And that's where I'm living today, really understanding, you know, what honesty means. And for me, it's uncomfortable today. Like, I you know, I lived so much of my life lying and rationalizing the lying and the dishonesty. And for me, that certainly starts with food, you know, not wanting to be honest. And today I don't have that, you know, I'm not struggling with that today. Today being honest is not a struggle. And I'm really, really grateful for that. And it's uncomfortable, but it's not a struggle. Like, I don't have to work hard, to be honest. And just really, really grateful to be here. Thank you all for your service, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Sabrina H. And we're going to invite up Robin P. to share for 3 minutes, but I wanted to let folks know that we're on page 21 today, studying in the text in the chapter, there is a solution. And we're down on paragraph 2, taking apart several lines at a time. And we're going to find us today at line number 9 of paragraph 2. And it begins with, he has a positive genius. And then we're going to read 7 lines, which tucks in with ending incredibly dishonest and selfish. And that's line number 15. So we're going to open up the lines for additional people to comment on that section right after Robin shares, and that'll be in 3 minutes. So in the meantime, Robin, I'd love to hear your comments, please.
Thanks so much, Mel. Hi, I'm Robin P. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater near to New Mexico. Excuse me. And, you know, that thing about he has a positive genius for getting tight at exactly the wrong moment. Oh my gosh, it's such a disease of sabotage. And I sabotaged so many times. I would just let the fear take over, that false evidence appearing real, just take over. And it's always, you know, I've always heard that the slip is the last step, or the binge is the last step. And the first step is the stinking thinking, that disease thinking, you know, being selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, resentful, or fearful. And, I started on Broadway for a long time when I was younger. And, you know, I would binge and vomit right before an agent was coming that was my agent, you know, to see me and starring in a show, you know. And it's such a horrible disease, and it's such a blessed recovery. And every day for me to just, oh, yeah, I'm having my meal. Okay, now's my life. Oh, I'm dealing with this. Oh, our dog is ill. Oh, you know, this is life on life's terms. And the food is just the food, thank God. It's not going to fill the God hole. It never will, and it never could, and it never did. If it would have filled my God hole, I wouldn't be here today, you know. And, you know, I just think that thing about he's perfectly sensible, and he also possesses special gifts and skills and aptitudes, and a promising career. I'm a serial inventor. I've invented several things, and you know, to be able to do what I do, the abstinence is the key for me. I need clarity of mind for God to be able to use my gifts for good and to be of service to God and my fellows. Who knew that's what my goal was when I came into the room? It was just to stop binging and vomiting and starving. And now it's really to be of service, and I can because I'm abstinent and working this program. God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinent day. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Robin P. from Mexico. The lines are now open for comment on that 7 lines in the middle of paragraph 2 on page 21. And we do value your experience and your wisdom here at A Vision for You, but we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might have a chance to be able to share as well, as we do have well over 250 people on the phone call each day. So if you'd like to share and you haven't shared on Monday or Friday, then I'd love to take your, I guess it would be having you share on Wednesday, but I'd love to take your name today. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and the, perhaps your state, I would love to take you down.
Cynthia L. W. New York.
Cynthia C. Okay,
Ann B. New York.
Ann B. New York.
Danielle W. California.
Danielle W. W. California.
Ramona A. Vermont.
Massachusetts.
Ramona A. Vermont. And
Kathy K.
Kathy K. Okay, great.
Yes.
Gotcha. From Mass. Okay. We get everybody that's wrong? That sounds like we did. Okay. Cynthia C, Ann B, Daniel W, Ramona A, and Kathy K. And we'll talk about the states again afterwards. Okay, great. Cynthia C, your 3 minutes.
Thank you so much for your service. This is Cynthia C, from recovered compulsive overeater and food addict from Newton, Massachusetts. I'm so grateful to be on the line today. It's interesting, when I was reading these lines, I was thinking about sort of the traumatic childhood. I grew up in an alcoholic home where I would say everybody, I'm the youngest of five by a lot. So both my parents and all of my siblings were either, you know, abusing drugs or food or alcohol. And I think about this, like this idea that positive genius for getting tight at exactly the one moment, particularly when some important decision must often be made or engagement kept. So that's what I felt like everybody did to me, that I was the victim of that exact thing, that I couldn't depend upon anybody in my family because they all did that to me. Then lo and behold, you know, of course, I find that I am a food addict and compulsive overeater and an alcoholic. And I think back, and I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, oh, I don't really relate to that. That wasn't me. But I think it was. I think it really was me, if I'm really being honest. I think I hated making decisions. Like, whatever I thought I was going to make, it was going to be wrong. I mean, my response to everything really was, to any crisis or trauma, was to fight, to have a head-on conflict with someone, to run away. The fight, flight, or freeze response was to fight, to run away, to dive, you know. There was something big I needed to deal with. Well, my head was head first into, you know, pints or gallons of ice cream and chips and whatever else, you know. And if I had a hard time, I was on the search for the perfect chocolate cake, or that will solve my problem. That will make me feel all better. Or, you know, or I would freeze. I would just become paralyzed and I wouldn't do anything. And I would sit and simmer in my resentment, but I couldn't take any action. And, you know, and I'm so grateful today. I'm so, so grateful today that I have 12 steps. And I'm dealing with a long-term issue at work, and it has sort of come to a head. And I realized that I'm not alone in this. I have 12 steps that I can do a 10-step turnaround every day to work down and explore my resentment and my hurt and my pain. You know, I have an 11-step that is teaching me to sit with my sadness, to acknowledge what's underneath the resentment and the anger. I feel hurt, and I feel sad, and I'm learning to sit with that pain, and that gives me, and to ask my higher power for guidance, and to actually learn to listen to my higher power, so that at those moments when an important decision must be made or an engagement kept, I get to do it hand in hand with my higher power, and I'm not alone, and I'm grounded. With that, thank you so much. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Cynthia C. from Massachusetts. Ann B. from New York, you're up next for 3 minutes.
Hi, this is Ann B. from New York. I'm a compulsive overeater. I don't like that word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 16 years. I've been thinking about this getting tight at just the wrong moment. I think I used food like Ritalin at work. I think it did actually help me focus at work. But I particularly remember being at my aunt's funeral and being so focused on the buffet afterwards that I just really wasn't emotionally available for my cousins who had just lost their mother. And I remember that with horrible guilt, you know, this idea that I was just so eager for that food. Gleeful, really, at the idea of looking at the food rather than spending the time trying to console people. That is a major memory that I have of how my addiction, you know, sort of interfered with my life. And so I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Ann B. from New York. Next up is Danielle W. from California for 3 minutes. Good morning.
Hi, this is Danielle W. from Southern California. One of the many, many gifts this program and this meeting in particular offer is that I'm reminded of what it was like. And I need to hold on to that. I have to remember in order to keep working my program. This in particular, he has a positive genius for getting tight at exactly the wrong moment. He is incredibly dishonest and selfish. And, you know, I'm a compulsive overeater. I probably have 3 months of true sobriety, though I've been in OA for quite a long time. And I remember I'm actually starting a new job today. And I, as I listened to this, I realized over 30 years how frequently I would call a meeting, and right before we all assembled, I would run to the kitchen. I mean, this is such a regular occurrence. And I would just start shoveling food into my mouth. And it was sort of a running joke that I would always show up late. I was so desperate to calm my nerves, to hide from my responsibilities with no regard for other people's time or commitment or effort. And, you know, I look back now and I'm just astounded at my behavior for such a long time. And, you know, I'm going into this now with abstinence, true abstinence. And while there's some anxiety, I'm so hopeful that I can show up for my fellows and be of service and not be constantly in the food and numbing myself. And so, you know, I think it's going to be a challenging time. I'm so grateful for this meeting that I can start every day with all of you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Danielle W. from California. Next up is Ramona A. from Vermont, and Kathy K. will follow Ramona. And then after that 6 minutes time, we're going to open it up for additional comments on that 7 lines in paragraph 2. It's 9 lines down from the top of paragraph 2 and has sandwiched in there 7 lines of he has a positive genius and then ends with incredibly dishonest and selfish. But in meantime, I'd like to listen to, invite rather, Ramona A. to the line and then Kathy K. to follow. Hi, Ramona.
Hi, I am Ramona. Thank you for your service. And this is Ramona A., recovered in Vermont.
Ramona, I'm just going to kind of put my nose in here just a moment. It might be just me, but the tone or your, I'm not able to hear you very strongly. Okay. Is there some adjustment or is it just me?
Okay, is this better?
Oh, that is like night and day. Thank you for doing that. That's lovely.
Okay, I just wasn't speaking into the phone. So I just had to share on
that. Oh, now you've gone back. Now I've gone back
there's
to what
so
I
There's so many things in my life, my history, that so many events that could ring true with selfish and that part of it, selfish, self-centered about food and not being present for people. And what I have to say for those who hear this, that I don't do that anymore. I am present. I am present. I'm able to contribute, etc. But I want to share a couple of things. I've been in my first big professional job for about 6 years, and my manager sent me to a big convention, you know, and I had a food budget that I could use, and I used that food budget to the max. I didn't go over, but I used so much of it that didn't need to be used for food. You know, I certainly wasn't that hungry, but everything was about food because I was in a new city, lots of food, etc. And I had lost a lot of weight by the weigh and pay, but I would eat until my stomach hurt and then wait just long enough for it to not hurt anymore and get some more. So that was that whole convention. And of course, all the money spent on getting me to a convention was really wasted money, and what an embarrassment that was. And then I remember after I'd been married, it probably wasn't too long after that, that we were invited to some friends' house, new friends' house, for dinner. And they had a dessert that somehow really touched the spot for me. And I thought, oh, I've got to have some more. And I thought about that, and I said, oh, I can't ask for more. And I thought about, until we were ready to get in the car and go home, and I thought, I'm not going to get any more of that. We're going home. And I asked, can I have another piece of that? And everyone looked at me like I was crazy, but I was going to get that. And I did, and I'm sure I embarrassed my husband. I humiliated myself. People tried to sit around and make small talk while I ate, but I had what I wanted. And how incredibly selfish that was. So I will pass.
Thank you so much, Ramona A. Next up is Kathy K. for 3 minutes from Massachusetts. By the way, Ramona's from Vermont. And then we'll open up the lines for probably at least two more people to comment on that paragraph. Well, actually, those 7 lines. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you for your service. This is Kathy, a recovered compulsive overeater outside of Boston. And I am so happy to be hearing the shares today and focusing on these lines in the paragraph. I want to speak to my experience of honesty. It's not something that it's either on or off. I mean, I thought I was honest from the very first day I started working with a food plan and a sponsor, which is over 25 years ago now. But honestly, it took me years to develop enough honesty and willingness to see that I was still cutting corners and lying by omission and getting sloppy with my food. And it wasn't until a few years ago that I was willing to really focus on clean abstinence according to a food plan that was given to me by a nutritionist. And then honesty became for me something I needed to work on with all aspects of my life. You know, it's taken time for me to be entirely honest about my selfishness and my dishonesty and my self-seeking, and even about the self-reliance that fuels my fears. You know, I have noted that it's only through daily working the steps and the spiritual disciplines of reading and writing and sharing with a sponsor and praying and listening to God, that my honesty has deepened and continues to deepen. I'm just so grateful that I have the perspective of years on this journey and also the input from my fellows, which reminds me of the complexities around honesty, where we have to look and do the work to be as honest as we can be. And it doesn't really get easier. It just gets fuller. And I'm very grateful for that. And I pass.
Thank you so much. Kathy K. from Boston, Mass., Boston, Mass. Area. I'd like to open up the lines then now. It looks like for about 3 people to comment on those 7 lines, paragraph 2, 9 lines down from the top. Who would like to share?
Lorraine N.
Lorraine N. from Oregon.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Mo H.
Mo H. from California. Learning some of these.
I'd like to share after her, please.
After Mo? Okay. Would you like to give me your name?
Sure. L.A.
L.A.
727. Thank you.
Yeah, L.A. Okay. So let's go with those three and see what happens with our time. I did hear Teresa, but I don't know, Teresa, that we'll be able to grab that. But if not, I will call you if we can. So I have Lorraine N, Mo H, and L.A. To share today. We're going to start with Lorraine N for 3 minutes, and then we'll move on. Hi, Lorraine.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. Yeah, I just really want to express my gratitude and join the chorus here of people expressing their gratitude and this business of sabotage. Yes, I, you know, I can remember before job interviews or exams a couple times I had to take, not just not showing up for friends, family, events, cutting people off at the knees with no explanation, and avoiding sex, all of it. And I mean, this disease diminished my life on every level for over, well, my whole life. I just was led to visions a little over a year ago, and my life has just changed exponentially. It's hard to explain how it happens because it's so experiential for me. It's been a process and continues to be a process of discovering and recovering and discarding old ideas. And I mean, I did not know the true from the false. I didn't even know what that statement meant in the big book. It baffled me. And it's only been by working the steps and showing up at meetings, having a sponsor, sponsoring, which is the thing that's helped me the most, I think. I definitely have found my niche there, and I love it. You know, so I continue to work on my selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fears, and I'm always going to have those. They are lessening and softening, and in some cases, they are disappearing, but I'm always going to have those human traits, which become defective if I don't practice my spiritual life every day. That's the thing. It's not that hard, but it does take consistency. So I'm just very, very grateful in this moment, and so grateful I found all of you, and happy to be on the line this morning. Thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Lorraine, and from Oregon. Mo H. from California. 3 minutes, madam.
All right. Good morning, Melanie, and everyone on the line. Thank you for your service every Tuesday, Melanie and Team Tuesday. This is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater from Walnut Creek, California. So I zeroed in on the line. He is often perfectly sensible and well-balanced concerning everything except liquor. And that, I believe, is me, or was me. I raised, we raised five children. Very sensible, you know, league, you know, had them to school on time and, you know, dressed and their lunches and, you know, homework and activities and all of that. And, you know, through college and marriages and et cetera. And I was very well balanced when it came to my family. But behind the scenes of that was my compulsive eating behavior that I didn't know was an allergy of the body at all. I just thought I liked food and I would go on diets and I would lose the weight and then I would, you know, get off the diet and gain the weight back over and over and over again until my current sponsor led me to this meeting and this book, which I had bought at my very first OA meeting in 1989 and probably hardly cracked it open. And I really started learning about myself by studying this book. So, yes, the first part of that sentence, I felt, yes, I was well-balanced concerning everything. But when it came to food, my God, did I, you know, I took food from stores like I heard people talking about yesterday. Yes, I did. I made amends for that. And that has changed my life. I recoil from it like a hot flame. I hid food. I, you know, snuck food when I babysat. I took that food from where I was babysitting. So very, very dishonest and very selfish because when it came to food of any sort, I wanted what I wanted when I wanted it. And I didn't want anybody to interfere with that. And I remember my husband and I used to go to plays in San Francisco, you know, the musicals and the drama plays. And on the way home, he would just go straight home. And I would wonder why he wouldn't stop at, you know, one of these places to have a treat, because that's what my father did with me after my dancing performances. My brother and I were a team. My father would always stop at this specific place, which I remember vividly. And my husband said, you know, why do you want to eat now? It's like, you know, 11 o'clock at night. And I go, well, just because, you know, but that was my food calling me. So I think that's enough. So thank you all for being there. And with that, I pass, Melanie.
Thank you very much, Mo H. from California. Next up is L.A. L.A., is that where you're from, or do you have a state you want to offer?
No, it's where I'm at.
Okay, so, okay, gotcha. I gotcha. I'm clear now.
Yeah,
okay, your 3 minutes starts now.
927 here. Thank you. I weigh and measure.
Oh, you said your name is Laura?
That's not right. Yeah, Laura, ACOA Food Freedom Meeting. I have it.
What's the first initial of your last name, Laura?
Last is Diamond.
So like a Z?
Diamond. Die.
D-I-A. Yeah, with a D. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ah, excellent. Nice to meet you, Laura D. Laura Diamond
okay.
from L.A.,
yes,
California. Yeah. Great. Now it's your three. I won't interrupt you anymore.
Yeah. This really actually helps me because I really understand the reason I was just there in the mirror also uninterrupted. Food was the only way I could think. Concentrate on myself totally. Insane, shoving the voices of my gut down to quiet. The inner child is still why I have explosive, volatile gases prepping me for bloating and not making choices that could help my little girl. And going to vegan institutes all over the world and already surviving the death every year, death survive. And now it's just dodging bullets because my lifestyle is eating foods just for bookending safety, knowing a plan of peace will take a lot of plans to live and let live, to allow me, knowing God's not out there, but knowing I have to live through this day, is not always control. It's sometimes bedroom slippers and yoga in the house, which is devastating to find out how much I know. It's horrible to have to do it alone, but refreshing to practice certain skills that I would never have the discipline to do without someone who knows why I would eat and stuff my gut, because I'm alone. And going to meetings that may not be appropriate for me are a better choice than the prison cell that I keep finding myself in. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Laura D. from California. And Laura Cher will end the sharing recorded portion of this meeting this morning as we transition over to the last 10 minutes of our meeting. So stick around for that. We're not quite finished, but we are going to button up this part of the meeting. Thank you to everyone that shared today. I'd like to invite Robin T. on the line to please read page 164 of the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then we'll say the Serenity Prayer together as we move on. Hi, Robin. Thank you.
Hi. Thanks so much, Mel. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater near Sunny, Mexico. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. God bless you and keep you.